Hey, Dean Cortez here, and I have a huge bonus section for you right now. This is called the Conversation Blueprint. Now, there is no such thing as a perfect pickup line. There is, however, a sequential process you can follow to build effective conversations with women, cause them to feel attraction towards you, and get the results you want, whether it's getting her phone number and seeing her again tomorrow, or taking her home tonight for sex. Now, this process is totally different from how most guys attempt to pick up women. Listen in on a typical conversation between a guy and a girl he just met at a bar, and you're probably going to hear him ask her a series of questions, like, so what's your name? Can I buy you a drink? So what do you do for work? Are you from around here? What do you do for fun? What kind of music do you like? And so on and so forth. He tries to keep the conversation alive by asking question after question, and if she keeps answering them, he thinks he's making progress. Well, until she starts getting restless, looking around the room, fidgeting, and now the guy can sense he's losing her interest and running out of time, so he asks her for her phone number. And now she probably replies that she has a boyfriend, which may not be true, and it's game over. Another one bites the dust. So he retreats, and soon the next guy steps up and takes his shot. He offers to buy her a drink, he asks what her name is, he asks her about her job, and the whole sad cycle repeats. So why does that conversational strategy, or really lack of strategy, fail? Well, there are a few reasons why. First, it's totally unoriginal. Nothing about what that guy said to her is stimulating her imagination or distinguishing him from the last 57 guys who approached her and tried to get in her pants and got nowhere. In reality, he could have been a pretty cool guy with lots to offer. But because he didn't demonstrate any of that during the conversation, she sees no reason to keep going on with the interaction, so she cuts him loose. Demonstrating your value during that first conversation is very important. When you meet a woman and you're aiming to seduce her, you've got to show her that you have at least as much value as she does. Now, we'll talk about how to demonstrate value more in a moment. The problem with most guys is they convey lower value. They behave as if the woman is doing them a favor by granting some of her time to them. This is why guys are often quick to offer to buy a drink. They aren't confident in what they're bringing to the table, so they attempt to basically bribe her into having a conversation. Now, the next reason that approach doesn't work is that he's telegraphing his interest. By asking her these questions, and certainly by offering to buy her a drink, he might as well have a flashing neon sign on his chest saying, "I'm really hoping to fuck you." She knows he wants her, and by making this obvious, he has surrendered his power and control. He's not asking her these questions because he's genuinely interested in knowing the answers. He's going through these motions because he's hoping to get lucky. And for the average guy, it all comes down to getting lucky. Skilled pickup artists don't need to rely on luck. They execute a plan, which I will give you here. You know, the comedian Chris Rock has a really funny routine about this. He says that when a guy meets a woman in a bar and starts asking her questions like this, what he's really saying is, "How about some dick? So what's your name?" Translation: "Would you like some dick?" "Can I buy you a drink?" Translation: "Can I interest you in some dick?" And so on. Don't broadcast your interest like that right off the bat by asking questions. Because while you're trying to seem casual and friendly, she knows what your agenda is. To put it bluntly, the trick to an effective approach in conversation is not, quote-unquote, offering her any dick. You want to make her curious about you and where this conversation might lead, but you don't want to show all your cards. Okay, the next reason why that conversational strategy failed is because it didn't seem to be heading anywhere. Women hate feeling trapped in conversations with guys they're not feeling interested in. She knows that as long as she plays along and answers his questions, he'll keep asking more and monopolizing her time. Obviously, this guy has nowhere else to be and no one else to talk to, which is a sign of a man with low value. If the first three questions he asks are boring and predictable, imagine how boring this conversation will be if she allows it to continue for another half an hour. Next, he didn't raise her energy level. That conversation gave her nothing to get excited about. She came out tonight and got dressed up hoping to have fun. He's not providing any of that. She could have this same conversation with her dentist or with one of her mother's friends. I mean, she worked hard at her job all week. Why should she come out tonight looking great on a Friday night just to play 20 questions with some low-value random guy? Next, he didn't make her feel attraction. Now, this is the big one. There is an art to making women feel attraction through conversation, and once you master it, you'll never have to go home alone again. Attraction for women is not a conscious choice. Sure, they might say they're attracted to tall guys, guys with muscles, rich guys, cute guys, etc. But when a guy comes along who knows how to flip her attraction switches, even if he looks nothing like the mental picture she has of her Mr. Right, she will want to have sex with him. You see, women are hardwired to feel sexually attracted to men who exhibit certain qualities. We're talking about biology here. Women today are hardwired the same way they were 10,000 years ago. Now, we'll cover these qualities in a moment, but the good news for right now is you've got them. All men do. It's just that very few men understand how to showcase these qualities in a way that makes women feel that sexual spark, and even fewer know how to present themselves as a challenge that women will actually want to win. So the following is a five-step process that will turbocharge your conversations and take you from the opener all the way to the close. But before I explain the five steps, there are some rules you must follow even before you make your approach and begin the interaction. So before the approach, if at all possible, you want to convey social value. This means from the moment you walk into the place, you are interacting with people. If you're with friends, loosen up and enjoy yourself. Always be smiling. Lead the conversation and keep your group laughing and engaged in what you are saying. People should notice that your crew is the one having fun tonight. Even if you're accompanied by only one friend, the two of you should be standing up, not parked on a bar stool, and engaged in an animated conversation. If you're alone, strike up a chat with the bartender. If the bartender is too busy to talk to you, start a conversation with someone. It could be a couple of guys standing nearby. It doesn't matter. Right now, the women in that place are noticing you and your energy. The guy who is sitting alone or huddled in the corner with his friends, scanning the room for women to try to talk to, is communicating low value. It'll give your approach a big boost if your target has already observed you socializing with people. When I go to my favorite bar, it usually takes me at least 15 minutes to settle in and scope out the girls I want to talk to because I'm busy being welcomed. The doorman greets me, we chat for a couple of minutes, then the bartender and the waitresses say hello to me, and various friends of mine come over and welcome me also. And meanwhile, the women are noticing me. They're always noticing new guys who show up. And when I decide to make my move and start talking to a girl, she's receptive because she has already seen how popular I am. She knows I must have some type of social value. Now, you can demonstrate the same kind of value wherever you hang out. It's simply a matter of befriending the people who work there and perhaps some of the regular customers who you often see there. Remember the whole idea of batting practice, okay? You are better off starting a fun conversation with a couple of chubby girls or a couple of guys than you are lurking alone or with your wingman scanning the room for girls to talk to, okay? You should always be socializing, and you should move from that interaction straight into your approach with the girl you want to flirt with. Now, I'm not saying this is necessary. What I'm saying is if you can do this, if the venue allows it, it gives you an edge. In a lot of situations, there isn't any way for you to do this. I mean, if you're walking down the street and you see a girl you want to talk to, there's really no way to convey any social value prior to walking up to her. But if you can do this, it definitely gives you an advantage. If there are venues where you regularly hang out to meet women, you must invest the time and effort to build up a small network of friends and allies in that place. Now, when the approach begins, let's move on. So now, you see the girl you want to talk to, right? This is where the five steps begin. Step one, open her. Now, don't worry too much about what to say first. You don't necessarily need to say anything super clever or fascinating. The purpose of the opener is to catch her attention and allow you to transition into the first topic of conversation. Now, there are endless openers you can use, but they all basically fall under one of two categories. The first category is neutral openers. Now, with these, you're not conveying any sexual or romantic interest. You make an observation about something she's wearing, the book she's reading, etc., or ask her opinion on something, or get her to answer a question. The key is to make this interesting. It should serve as a springboard to the conversation, and it should allow you to display your personality. If you're going to ask a question, make it a fun question, okay? Not, so where do you work? Neutral openers are most effective if you provide a reason why you felt compelled to say this to her. Notice that in the examples I'm about to give you, you're using the word because to link the opener to the reason. Some examples. Compliment opener. You know, I love that color on you. I want to know where you bought it because I need to buy a birthday gift for my friend Jen, and I think she would love something like that. Or opinion opener number one. You know, you girls look like experts, okay? Let me ask you a quick question. How long do you need to be dating a guy before you change the status on your Facebook page from single to in a relationship? Because my friend Jen has been dating a guy for about a month, and his Facebook page still says single, and she's not sure whether to say anything about it to him. Opinion opener number two. Let me ask you something real quick. My best friend's girlfriend tried to kiss me last night, and to be honest, it was really awkward. And he's supposed to meet me here in an hour, and I'm not sure whether to say anything to him about it. What do you think? Opinion opener number three. Wow, I gotta say, you have a nice sense of style. Let me ask you, my friend John asked me to go shopping with him tomorrow because he wants me to help him do a whole fashion makeover. You know, he was dating a girl for a really long time, and now he's single again and wants to get back out there and meet somebody new. So if you're going to take one of your guy friends shopping and do a fashion makeover, where would you bring them? Now, notice, in these openers, I'm referring to my friends, like John, Jen, and so on. It doesn't matter whether they actually exist or not. You can make this stuff up. I'm communicating value by letting the girl know that I am part of a social circle. I buy birthday gifts for them. I help them out with fashion makeovers. You know, the point is my friends count on me, and I'm there for them. I'm demonstrating this through this little story I'm telling. It's a way for you to communicate your social value even when your friends aren't with you. Now, here's a question opener. Okay, I have to ask you this because it's been tormenting me all day. What is the name of this song? And then you'll hum or you'll sing the hook of some huge hit song that's on the radio right now. Or I like to actually use songs from the 1980s, like one-hit wonders from the 1980s that we all know but may not know who sang them. And women love this stuff. It's like a little game you can play with them. Now, question opener number two, I might say to the girl, hey, you know, you probably know the answer to this. Let me ask you, because my friend Jen is coming to town next week, and she's in charge of her best friend's bachelorette party, and she wants to know a really fun place for having a girls' night out. So if you were in charge of the party, where would you bring the whole crew? Now, note, neutral openers work best when you deliver them in a casual, offhand kind of way, like you just thought of this, just popped into your head, and you want to ask her real quick. Also, a note on body language. You don't want to march straight up to a girl, look at her directly, and deliver your opener because she may be freaked out by that. You may be invading her personal space. What I usually do is I act like I'm on my way somewhere else. And as I pass by the girl or the group, I'll pause and turn back and deliver the opener sort of over my shoulder to them. Then once they answer and the conversation starts to flow, then I'll turn and face them directly. Now, also bear in mind, question openers about relationships and topics like jealousy or, you know, what constitutes cheating, they work really well because this is stuff women always have an opinion about, and women are always gabbing about this stuff amongst themselves. So ask one of these questions to a group of women, and often they will all chime in, and you'll spark a really animated group discussion. Some examples of this would be, let's say I'm standing near a group of girls. I take out my phone, I pretend to check a text message, and then I text something back. Then I turn to the girls and I say, you know, you girls would know the answer to this. Is my friend Mike wrong for getting mad at his girlfriend? I mean, she hacked into his Facebook account and found out that he was emailing with his ex-girlfriend. Nothing bad. They were just staying in touch. You know, they're still friends. But she was really upset that they were still talking to each other. And Mike was mad because he felt that she violated his privacy. So honestly, if you could hack into your boyfriend's Facebook account, seriously, would you check his emails? And there are endless variations on this same type of theme. For example, you know, my best friend Mike has been seeing this girl for about a month now, and as far as he's concerned, they're boyfriend and girlfriend now. But in her Facebook account, she's still got like 10 pictures of her and her ex-boyfriend, like partying together, making out, on vacation in Hawaii, you know. And Mike kind of wants her to delete those pictures, but he doesn't want to say anything because it might sound kind of lame, you know. So what's the rule on having Facebook pictures with your ex? When you start a new relationship, should the ex pictures get deleted? Or I might say to the girls, let me ask you real quick. My friend Jen just texted me, and she's pissed off because she found a scrapbook under her boyfriend's bed, and it's full of pictures of him and his ex-fiance, and letters they sent each other, and all these little romantic mementos of their relationship. And, you know, she really hates the idea that she's been sleeping in his bed every night, and right there underneath the bed is this scrapbook that's all about his ex. So do you think she has the right to confront him and tell him to toss it in the garbage? Now, bear in mind here, it doesn't matter which way the girls answer these questions. The whole idea is not to get into a debate. It's to spark the conversation and then transition onto other topics. Now, the second category of openers are called flirt openers. If you're confident in your game, you can cut to the chase and express your sexual interest right away. This can be pretty exciting, fun stuff. And these work best if you've already made eye contact with her and exchanged a smile. You probably don't want to surprise her out of the blue with one of these more direct flirt openers. Now, I use these openers all the time when I'm at bars and clubs because I'm pretty confident in my conversation skills. I don't mind letting her know that I'm sexually interested because I know I can follow it up with great conversation that is going to build her attraction. Flirt openers can inject a really strong spark into the conversation right away, and they also demonstrate massive confidence. Now, I know I said earlier that one of the mistakes the guys make is telegraphing their interest, so you may be wondering, doesn't this contradict that rule? Well, here's the thing. When you telegraph your interest in a very direct way and you tell her that she looks great or that you're totally going to flirt with her or you had to talk to her because she's so cute, that's very direct. She knows the deal, okay? And she can have fun with that. If you approach in a confident way and you've got a playful smile on your face and sort of a laid-back way about you, she will feel flattered and a bit excited. Where guys go wrong is where they try to mask their interest. They try to act neutral, but at the same time, they're doing all these things that mean they're interested sexually. They offer to buy the girl a drink, they want to try to dance with her, or more typically, they just start asking all those questions. So on the one hand, he's trying to act cool and nonchalant, and on the other hand, she's like, she totally knows what this guy is up to and what he's trying to get, but he's doing it in a very weak, roundabout way. So if you want to swing for the fences and you're a confident guy, let her know right off the bat. You think she looks great, she's cute, she has great energy, and you really want to talk to her, and then immediately transition into a fun topic that will capture her attention and go from there. Some examples would be, "You are so cute. I had to come over here and say hello." Or, "You have a great sense of style. I gotta tell you, you look amazing tonight. Your outfit is totally on point." Or I might say, "You know, I can't think of a good pickup line right now, but if I could, I would totally use it on you. You look awesome in that dress." Now, the key to using a flirt opener is to then immediately transition into a topic of conversation, attach a question to it, or ask her opinion on something. Now, some rules of approaching for you to bear in mind. First, never ask permission to talk to her or apologize for your presence. So don't say, "Pardon me, can I ask you a question?" Don't ask her if she's busy. Assume that she will be interested in what you have to say to her and launch right into your opener. This may seem a little bit impolite at first. You know, we're brought up to believe that we shouldn't talk to strangers and that if you need to ask a stranger for something, you should apologize up front. But high-status men don't act that way. Trying to start a conversation with a girl by asking permission or sounding apologetic, it really sets the wrong tone. Don't surrender your power. Believe that you are the most fun, interesting guy she could possibly meet right now, and then back it up by engaging her in a fun, interesting conversation. Another rule, never open with a yes-no question, because to this, she could simply give a yes or no answer and the conversation won't flow. Your questions should be open-ended to encourage her to think and share and express her thoughts. If it can be answered with a yes or a no, don't ask it. Any question can be spun, changed around, to become open-ended. Some examples, a closed-ended question would be, "Are you from around here?" And the open-ended version of that question could be, "You know, I'm going to guess you're not from around here because you have this really kind of sweet, friendly, small-town vibe that is kind of rare, especially in this club where all the girls are trying to pretend to be cool, and you seem really real, and I appreciate that." Now, I could be totally wrong with that guess I just made. She might have been born two blocks away from this club, and that's okay. We'll share a laugh over how wrong my guess was, and the conversation will flow either way, and I've paid her a compliment. Now, also, when using an opinion or a question opener, anchor it with that reason. Use the word "because," as I mentioned earlier. Otherwise, it may sound like you're taking a survey or even worse, repeating an opener you learned in a book. Studies have shown that by simply attaching a reason to your request, people are far more likely to agree to what you ask them. It's a funny quirk of human psychology. The next rule is act like you have somewhere else to be. One of the biggest reasons why women get fidgety and blow guys off right away or after a minute or two is they worry how long they will have to indulge this guy in his questions if they start allowing him to talk to her. You know, when some random guy approaches her and tries to start a conversation with a bunch of questions, the girl may already be tensing up. She's thinking to herself, if I'm friendly to him, is he going to stand here and try to talk to me all night? You can eliminate this concern by mentioning how you can only stay for a minute. Like saying to the girl, hey, I can only stay for a minute, but let me ask you real quick. Or, let me get your opinion real fast. Or, hey, I need to meet my friends in a second, but I just want to tell you. Now, by using these kind of prefacing statements, what you're doing is you're eliminating that concern from her mind. You're like bypassing that defense mechanism that women often use to shut guys out. You will almost never get shut down by girls if they know your question or your comment is only going to require a moment or a second of her time. Then you're in the door, and you'll have your chance to display your personality and capture her attention and work the five steps. Now, of course, once the conversation starts to flow, feel free to stick around as long as you like. You don't need to go anywhere at that point. Another rule, your body language and your tone of voice must be congruent with your words. A good opener should make it seem as if you're totally comfortable striking up conversations with women. If you're avoiding eye contact, if your hands are in your pockets, if you're clutching your beer against your chest, if you're fidgeting, or if you're talking way too fast, the effect of your opener will be lost. Also, for any question you ask or any opinion you ask her about, have your own opinions and stories to share. This applies to really anything you say during the conversation. If you ask for her opinion about your buddy Mike and whether his girlfriend was wrong for snooping around in his email account, you should be able to also express how you feel about it after she's done answering your question. This is your opportunity to plant seeds in her mind about your own positive qualities. Now, you don't want to totally contradict what she says. Understand and respect her answer and her opinion, and then put your own spin on it that emphasizes positive things about you, such as the fact that you value things like honesty, commitment, loyalty, discretion, or the importance of letting go of the past and focusing on the present and the future. For example, I might ask the girl her opinion about Mike and his girlfriend. She gives her answer, and then I say, you know, Mandy, it is so interesting that you feel that way, because I have to say, if I'm dating someone, I wouldn't necessarily have a problem with them staying in touch with their ex, but I'd want her to be honest about it, you know? I mean, when I date someone, it's really important for me to be able to trust them 100% because they can totally trust me. There shouldn't be any secrets. Or I might say to her, you know, you are so right, Mandy. If I was her, I would ask her to tell her boyfriend to get rid of that scrapbook. Because when I'm dating somebody, it's like a fresh start for both of us. You know, it's all about me and that person and where we're heading together in the future. And all that stuff from the past, it really has no place in the moment. So just get rid of it. I agree with you. Now, I mentioned a moment ago discretion as being another seed, a positive quality of yours, to demonstrate. When I'm aiming to get a girl to come home with me tonight, I'll often get her opinion on a quick story that allows me to plant that discretion seed. Now, why is discretion an important seed to plant? Why should she see you as being a discreet guy? Well, because women hate the thought of guys blabbing to their friends about their conquests. So you want to let her know you're not the kind of guy who will kiss and tell. This eliminates one more concern from her mind, that if you bang her tonight, she won't wind up being a story you share with your pals tomorrow. So I might say to the girl, so my buddy Mike just texted me. He had a really bad day at work because last night there was a company party and it got pretty wild, and he wound up going home with this girl that he works with. And they've been flirting with each other for months, and then last night it finally went down, you know? So this morning he goes into work and he's got like 5 emails from different coworkers congratulating him and joking around with him over the big hookup that happened last night. And it turns out this girl told a bunch of people that morning at the job, which is totally not cool. You know, I'm a guy who believes in discretion. You never kiss and tell. You know what I mean? Now, the next rule, if the girl you're interested in is with a group, approach the group. Don't try to wait until she steps away from her friends, because if you approach her then, there's a good chance one of her friends will show up and drag her back to the group. Use your opener on the group and don't give any indication which of the girls is your target. You'll want to wait until the conversation is flowing and you've demonstrated some qualities and planted some seeds. Then you'll start focusing your attention on the one you're interested in. Now remember again, the purpose of your opener and the first topic is not to sweep her off her feet. It's to get you in the door and get the conversation flowing. It's during the conversation that you will display your cool, charming personality and your positive traits and build up her interest and attraction. Of course, none of this can ever happen unless you're able to successfully open her in the first place. Also, bear in mind, every opinion you ask her about and every little story you share and every question you ask should have a purpose behind it. It's not about just getting her to share stuff about herself. It's about you using that topic to plant seeds about yourself. So the questions about cheating and relationships, etc., are only meant to start the conversation. These are not topics you want to dwell on for 10 or 20 minutes, because you don't want her to start going on about her bastard ex-boyfriend or her own past relationships or thinking about the time that some guy cheated on her in the 10th grade, okay? It is your job to keep things moving forward and flowing using hooks and ladders, and I'll explain this concept more in a moment. For now, let's move past the opener and go to step two. Now, step two is build the bond. You want to spend some time getting to know about her and share a few interesting details about yourself, such as your talents, your ambitions, and your passions. You want to get her to share, and you want to use statements, stories, and educated guesses instead of asking her predictable questions. Like, predictable would be asking her, "So where do you work?" Unpredictable would be, "I get the sense by talking to you that you're really good at what you do during the week, and then on the weekends you probably have other interests that would probably surprise me." Or you might say, "I'm going to guess that when you're at your job, whatever it is you do, you're super focused and great at it, but then on the weekends you know how to cut loose and seriously have fun. I'm right, aren't I?" Predictable would be asking her, "So where are you from originally?" Unpredictable: "You strike me as a girl who was born in a big city somewhere, because you have this cool, sophisticated sort of urban vibe." Now note, it doesn't matter whether you're wrong or right. Either way, you're flattering her a little bit, and you're inviting her to fill in the blanks and tell you more. Predictable: "So what kind of movies do you like?" Unpredictable: "So check this out. My friend Mike has a big date tomorrow. The girl is coming over to his house for the first time, and he's cooking them dinner. So he asked me, which DVD should he pop on for them to watch after dinner? And I was thinking something funny and romantic would probably be best. What do you think? Do any romantic comedies pop to mind, like the perfect first date DVD?" So again, remember, always have your own ideas and opinions and positive qualities ready to mention. If she tells you about her job and how passionate she is about it, now you can mention one of your passions. If you hate your job right now, and we'll discuss jobs more in the next chapter, but if you hate it, don't mention that. Bond with her over the fact that she's passionate about her job and you're passionate about snowboarding or writing or travel, whatever. Here's your opportunity to talk about your passion and use it as a way to connect with her. Women are like talent scouts. They want to see your potential, and oftentimes that's even more important than where you are right now in your life. As long as you convey passion and exciting things you are working towards, they'll be interested in going along for that ride with you. Now, this stage, you know, step two, it's also known as comfort building. She needs to feel comfortable with you before she starts feeling attraction and going any farther with you. This means you want to keep the mood light, playful, and positive. No depressing subjects. If your opener was about cheating and relationships and like relationship drama, step two means you move past that and talk to her about other topics that put her in a really good mood. Also, topics that reveal that you have things in common with her. And also, you want to show her that you appreciate and you support the things she is doing in her life or working towards. Pay her thoughtful compliments, like get her to reveal a talent of hers or a passion, and then tell her how cool you think that is. Another great tactic for building the bond during this stage is to make plans to do things with her in the future. Like, for example, plan a road trip. Just throw it out there. Say, "You know, I totally want to do another road trip soon. Have you ever done that? Just packed up a car with a cooler full of drinks and food with your friends and just hit the open road looking for adventure. It is so much fun." And then make a plan to do the same thing with her. Like, this plan will probably never actually happen. It can be crazy and ridiculous. You could say to her, "You know, you would be an awesome road trip companion. We would have a blast. So what's a city you've always wanted to visit?" And so she might say, "New York." And you say, "Okay, New York it is. Now, I'm sure you want to do this trip in style. So what do you say we rob some banks along the way? We'll be like Bonnie and Clyde. By the time we reach New York, we'll call Donald Trump and buy one of his penthouse towers." You know, or talk about international travel. Mention some amazing destination you went to and get her to reveal some exotic place she has always wanted to go to. And then make your plan. It can be crazy and fun, you know? I met a girl recently who told me her dream was to go to Venice, Italy, because her hidden passion was she wanted to be a painter. And she worked some boring 9-to-5 job right now, but her dream was to be a painter. So I wanted to bring this out of her, get her to talk about it, and get her in that positive mind frame. So I said to her, "Okay, Venice, Italy, it's a plan. It's a done deal. You and me are going there. I'll support us by getting a job working as a gondolier, you know, paddling tourists around in one of those canals, and you'll work on your paintings, and eventually you'll become like the next Picasso, and you'll open your own gallery, and we'll live a life of luxury. It sounds awesome. Now, the more ridiculous these plans sound, the better they work, because she'll be more likely to play along and say, sure, why not? Sounds great. So the idea here is to get her in the mind frame that the two of you are going to hang out in the future and have fun times and adventures together. It's a way of building the idea in her mind that two of you have a relationship now, and it will go beyond tonight, even if you only met her 20 minutes ago. Getting her psyched up about going on some fun, wild adventure also creates a great opportunity for you to start building physical contact with her. Give her a high five. Ask her where she wants to travel to, then give your own answer, and then thumb wrestle her to decide where the two of you will go. What you're doing here is you're injecting fun into the conversation in a really big way. My buddy John Sin, the famed pickup artist, says fun is the ultimate attraction switch. And he's right. The guy who makes her feel the most fun is usually the guy who has the best chance of taking her home or seeing her again. Now, labeling is also part of this step. This means you apply a label to her and you reinforce to her that she's things like fun and spontaneous, up for new things. You talk to her about travel, you make some vague, funny plan with her, and then tell her she's awesome because she's a cool, spontaneous, fun person. Not like most of the other girls in this place who are uptight and can't think outside the box. So you're labeling her by that identity, okay? Now, in Robert Cialdini's groundbreaking book, Influence, The Science of Persuasion, he writes about a psychological principle called commitment and consistency. And this means that when we label someone a certain way and get them to agree and commit to that label, they'll want to behave in a way that is consistent with it. So, when you tell her she's so cool for being spontaneous and up for new adventures, she won't want to act in a way that contradicts that label. This makes it a whole lot easier to persuade her to do something spontaneous with you tonight. Like you might say to her, I know you're a totally spontaneous girl. Well, there's this awesome bar right nearby. We should totally grab a drink there because my friend Joe is bartending right now. Let's go. Or you say to her, you know, it's cool you're always up for traveling and having fun because on Friday night, my friend is throwing a party. It's going to be awesome. So I'll pick you up at 8 o'clock. We'll have a really fun time. Now, normally, with a guy she just met, inviting her to these places and to do these things might cause her to pause and to think about reasons not to go along with you. But when you've already labeled her as a fun, adventurous, free-spirited person, and then you reference this from time to time during the conversation, she will be much more likely to act in a way that matches that label. You can label her in other ways too. I mean, for example, if you like going to the beach and she expresses how much she loves the beach, then you can tell her, you know, one of my requirements in a girlfriend is she has to love the beach and the water as much as I do. It's one of my big things. So you and I are totally on the same page. One of these weekends, we are totally going to hit the beach and have a blast. Now, notice you said one of these weekends. You didn't specifically say next Saturday, let's go to the beach. It sounds totally harmless when you keep it vague. So she's bound to say, sure, that sounds amazing. Cool, let's do it. Now, this plan may never happen in reality, but these language tactics, what you're doing is you're strengthening the bond with her. It feels to her like a relationship is now blossoming. It's not just ordinary small talk between two strangers at a bar. The two of you are making these plans to do cool things together. You see what I mean? So all you need to do is find out an interest you have in common with her and then label her. Play up how cool it is that she loves the same thing that you do. Then tell her, don't ask her, tell her that two of you are going to hang out and enjoy that activity together one of these weekends or one of these days. Now, another part of this step is building compliance. This is a negotiator strategy. You frame yourself as the leader and you frame her as the follower. Get her comfortable with the idea of you leading the way and making decisions. Have her grant you small requests at first, which will make her more willing to grant you bigger requests later. You want to program her to start complying with you. Now, for example, you could be talking to a girl at a bar or a club, and then you say to her, stay here for a minute, don't move. I need to go see a friend of mine real quick. Or you say to her, do me a favor, hold my drink for a minute. I've got to step outside and make a quick business phone call. Now, these requests don't sound like a big deal, and they're really not. But what you're doing is you're starting to build compliance. Most guys behave in an opposite manner. They're trying to comply with whatever the girl wants. They're asking her stuff like, do you want to sit down? Do you need a drink? Do you want to go somewhere else? Do you want to stay here? Etc. Instead, you want to be the one leading the interaction and having her comply with you. Women actually feel comfortable around men who take charge and lead. It's not about being macho or aggressive at all. In fact, one of the best compliance-building tactics is to simply take her by the hand and lead her to another area of the bar or the club. Instead of asking her, "Do you want to go find somewhere to sit?" you take her by the hand, gently but firmly, and you say, "Come on, let's find a seat," and you lead her there. You can also do this if she says she needs to go to the ladies' room. Instead of her walking off and you standing there alone waiting for her to return, take her by the hand and lead her to the ladies' room. While she's in there doing her business, start a conversation with someone nearby. When she comes back out, she'll see you talking to somebody and building your social value. Now, during this step, hypotheticals and cold reads are also great techniques for building your bond with her. I'll explain how to use them in the next chapter. For now, let's go to the next step, which is step 3, challenge her and use push-pull. Now, you must shift gears and go to this next step. Stage 2 is a comfortable place to be. You're bonding, you're sharing, you're talking about cool stuff you've got in common, you're making plans. But to make her feel attraction and to kick things up a notch, you've got to demonstrate that you're a high-value guy who isn't quite sure if she's up to your standards. You see, women want what they can't have. They love a guy who is a challenge. Therefore, step 3 is about displaying a bit of cocky confidence and making her feel she'll have to work to get a guy like you. It's not going to be so easy. This step is also about injecting some sexual energy into the interaction. If you linger too long in step 2, you might wind up in the friend zone. She thinks you're a nice guy, but feels no desire to have sex with you. So this is where you build sexual tension and sexual chemistry. Here are some ways to tease women, to challenge them, and to use some push-pull. You say to her, "You know, you're so cool, Susie, but you and I could never be boyfriend and girlfriend. We're way too much alike. We'd be clashing all the time and then probably having crazy makeup sex and waking up all the neighbors. I mean, it would be hot, but probably a lot of drama." Or you say to her, "You know, it's too bad I swore off dating girls like you." Or, "You are totally not my type, but for some reason I'm finding you really interesting right now." Or you say to her, "You know, you're a really nice girl, and you probably shouldn't be hanging out with a guy like me. I could get you in trouble." Or, "You are so sweet and nice, but seriously, you should probably be talking to a nice boy like the one over there." And then you point to some dorky-looking guy across the room, and you say, "I'm the guy your mother warned you about." You can also put her in the friend zone. And this tactic is very powerful because it reverses the normal dynamic. Usually it's women placing guys in the friend zone, right? But you can do it to her. You say to her, "You know, you are like the little sister I never had." Or you say, "You remind me so much of one of my little sister's friends." You know, or you say to her, "You know, I'm glad we met because I can tell you're probably a really good friend to have." So you're putting her in the friend zone. You can also accuse her of hitting on you. So if it's time to get her a drink or she offers to buy you a drink, you say, "Okay, one more drink, but promise you won't try to take advantage of me." Or you say, "Okay, one more drink, but just so you know, it takes more than a drink to get me into bed. I expect dinner and a movie at least." Or if she touches you, you can say, "Hey, hands off the merchandise. That'll be $20. You can also employ her and then fire her. You could say to her, "Okay, I'm hiring you as my personal assistant." Or, "I've always thought my life would be a great book, and since you're a writer, you're now my official biographer. You're hired to write the book. I'll pay you whatever you want." Or if she knows how to build websites, make her your website developer. If photography is one of her hobbies, tell her she's now your personal photographer and hand her your camera to take a picture, you know, or your chef, or she's your personal trainer if she works out, you know, whatever. Make up a way to hire her. And then when she does something dorky or gives a lame answer to one of your questions, then you fire her. You say, "That's it. Okay, you're fired. Tell that girl over there in the red dress to submit her resume," or whatever. You know, have fun with this. Be creative. Also, you can use the point system. You can say to her, "Okay, Lisa, I'm going to ask you something right now, but be careful because this answer is worth 10 points. Or you say, "Be really careful how you answer this question I'm about to ask you because this answer is actually worth 20 points. Now, if she answers correctly, tell her she earned the points. And if she reaches 50 points tonight, she wins a bonus. And now this can be like a game or a theme that runs through the conversation. Deduct points for lame answers. Award points for good ones. You're building compliance and you're also sending a message. It's her job to impress you, not the other way around. You're making her want to earn your approval. It's a fun game to play and it works. Now, step five, you want to escalate and close. During the previous two steps, you should have been slowly and subtly building physical contact with her. I'll explain this more a little bit later on, but essentially during step five, this touching is going to get more intimate, like putting an arm around her waist, caressing the back of her neck, etc. This is also the stage when you will close her. I'll discuss closing tactics in more detail a bit later, but as the great salesmen say, you've got to always be closing. ABC. Get that phone number. Bring her back to your place if possible. Go for the same night lay whenever you can. There is no guarantee that you will ever get a shot with this girl again. This could be your only moment and your only opportunity. So capitalize and close. Women want to be charmed and seduced, especially when they go out to the bars and the clubs looking hot. They want to be seduced. You don't earn any brownie points for being a gentleman who shows no sexual interest and waits for her to give you the romantic signals. She probably never will. She wants to know that you are a man who is not afraid to lead her down this path and allow her to satisfy her desires and feel good about it. You know, women, being highly emotional creatures, will have all sorts of doubts and anxieties about hooking up with you if you allow them to dwell on the negative possibilities. One of their big concerns, for example, is being perceived as a slut. But through effective conversation, planting seeds, bonding with her, teasing her a little, being a challenge, and then following the five steps all the way through, you can neutralize those concerns and have her following your lead every step of the way and really enjoying every second of it. Now, besides the four steps, you also have to understand hooks and ladders. The key to never running out of conversational material is understanding how to use hooks. You see, a hook is anything a girl mentions that you can turn into a topic of conversation right now or a little bit later on. And a ladder is an opportunity in the conversation for you to plant a positive seed in her mind and boost yourself up a notch. It's like climbing up another rung on a ladder. So you want to look out for hooks that you can turn into ladders. For example, you might want to talk to her about music. I like to bring up music because it's a subject I know a lot about, and I'm passionate about the bands and the artists that I love. Now, I won't ask her a standard question like, "So what kind of music are you into?" Instead, I'll put an interesting spin on that question and say something like, "You know, Sarah, I bet you've got good taste in music. So who do you think is the hottest new artist out right now?" And Sarah might reply, "Lady Gaga. You know, she's amazing in concert, and my sister and I saw her play in Vegas a few months ago." Now, with that one answer, this girl has just provided me with several possible hooks. You know, springboards to new topics that allow me to build myself up without ever sounding like I'm bragging. Just in that one reply, she threw out three hooks I might want to use. The first one, Lady Gaga. I'm not a big fan of hers, but I do respect how original she is. I mean, she's got her own unique, wild style, and she is a trendsetter. So I'll mention how I respect that about her and how it's cool when a person is willing to take risks and do their own thing, since most people have a follow the herd type mentality. Now, this hook also allows me to mention how I'm an entrepreneur and I take risks to pursue my own goals, no matter what anyone else may think. And then I'll get this girl, Sarah, to talk about her own pursuits and her passions. So you see, it's great stuff. It's a definite ladder. And of course, I can also use this hook to discuss music with her further. Now, the second thing she mentioned in her reply was the fact that she has a sister. She went with her sister to that concert, right? I can ask if her sister is older or younger, and maybe relate a funny little story about me and my sister, about a concert I went to with her years ago. She actually begged me to bring her to an NSYNC concert, and I thought it would be sheer torture, but the funny thing was, by the end of the concert, I was singing along because the songs are pretty damn catchy. Now, is that a true story? It might be, it might not be, but I use that one during conversations sometimes. I'll throw that in there. Now, the third hook she gave me to work with in that answer was the fact that she went to Vegas. That's where the concert was. And there's tons of conversational material here. I mean, I've spent a lot of time in Vegas and can talk to her about my favorite clubs or tell her a story about the time I got ridiculously lucky playing blackjack and the casino wound up comping me and my friends a high roller suite. Now, with this, I can also make some plans with her to go to Vegas, as I told you about earlier, that technique. You know, I'll say, "Sarah, you and I are totally going to Vegas one of these days. You are going to be my good luck charm, and I'll win a bundle at blackjack, And then we'll have a quickie wedding at one of those Elvis chapels and get it annulled the next day. What do you say? It'll be a funny story to tell our grandkids. Now, as I told that story just now, I was reminded of the movie The Hangover, which was hilarious. Remember how one of the characters, during his drug-induced blackout, married a stripper in some cheesy Vegas chapel and then had to get it annulled? Well, if I wanted to, I could say to her, so we'll have a quickie wedding at the Elvis Chapel and then get it annulled the next day. Like that movie, The Hangover. You've seen The Hangover, right? Wasn't that hilarious? And now I can switch topics to this movie. We can discuss our favorite funny movies, and that's a great topic to get a girl in a really fun, you know, free-spirited mood. Now, these are just some quick examples. I could give you a million others. During any conversation, opportunities to grab onto hooks and create ladders will arise constantly. When you identify these hooks, you will never have to struggle to figure out what to say next. You see, being a great conversationalist means being able to recognize hooks, grab onto the most interesting ones, and use them to keep the conversation flowing in new directions. When you get good at this, the effect is seamless. The conversation seems to just flow naturally, and the girl gets the sense that the two of you have this amazing chemistry and all these cool things in common. One more example. The average guy would say to a girl, so what do you do for work? And she says, I'm a teacher. And the guy says, really? That's cool. So, have you been to this bar before? And the girl says, yeah. Well, look, it's nice to meet you, but I need to go find my friends. And the average guy retreats, sucks down a bunch of beers, goes home, and masturbates to internet porn. Okay? That's the average conversation at a bar. Now, let's look at how a Mac would handle it. The guy would say to the girl, you know, you have so much positive energy, Cindy. I really like that. You must be working on saving the world right now or doing something really interesting. And then she says, not really. I'm just a teacher. And the guy says, you know, I have a lot of respect for teachers. There is no way I would be where I am today if it wasn't for Mr. Barnes, my high school English teacher. He was the first person to really inspire me to become a writer. So for you to get into teaching, there must have been somebody who really inspired you. From there, the conversation flows and goes deeper. They start talking about passions, goals, the fact that the guy's working on a book, the fact that she wants to start an after-school program to help inner-city kids. And the guy and the girl are bonding so quickly that him getting her number and seeing her again is guaranteed. And him taking her home tonight is a definite possibility. So you see, the more you talk to girls and practice your flow, the easier it becomes for you to riff on virtually any topic and plant seeds in her mind about your own diverse interests, your range of knowledge, and your talents, passions, and goals. If I'm talking to a girl and she mentions anything to do with California, I can mention my old college buddy John, who lives in California, and this guy left his corporate job to become a full-time surfer. Now, some people might say that he's a slacker, but I love how he went against the grain and just did what he loved to do, what would make him happy, because life is too short to live any other way. So I have friends who live all across the U.S. and all around the world, so really, pretty much any geographic location a girl mentions during the conversation, I can relate a quick little story about a connection that I have to that place. And these little stories allow me to plant seeds. If I mention John, my old college buddy, now I can talk to her about college and find out where she went to school, whether she was a party girl or a really serious student, etc. I can relate some of my own college experiences and talk about how it was an amazing time in my life that really shaped who I am today. I can keep the conversation light and funny and tell some stories about my days in the fraternity or take it a bit deeper. It all depends on the situation and how I want to play it. If I'm talking to a girl in a nightclub, I'm going to keep things pretty light and surface, you know? If I'm sitting down with a girl over a cup of coffee, I might discuss some more serious topics and go a bit deeper and discuss, you know, life. So pay attention and watch for those hooks. She will supply them. By using them and controlling the flow of the conversation, she's not going to pause to think, well, this guy is kind of fun to talk to, but he's not really my type, so I should go find my friends. Instead, she will be swept up in your enthusiasm and your energy and go with your flow. Where you take it is up to you.